Our epistle reading this morning from Philippians is short, but holds within its few verses some of the most beloved encouragement in the New Testament. These are some of the words that you cling to that can save your life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. These words of life are inscribed in wedding bands and engraved on headstones. They are whispered in prayers late on dark, lonely nights and early on daunting days. In some of the last words of Philippians toward the end of his life, the Apostle Paul's pastoral sensibility soars, and through him words of life are given to the world. And all of this is given flight by the encouragement at the heart of this passage and at the heart of this letter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Philippians, the epistle of joy. 27 years ago, the seed of Dayspring's life was planted in the hearts and souls of the families who grew this church and grew with it. You have to have some grit to start a church, I think. It's one thing for a group of friends to meet together for meals and a prayer and a reading of Scripture. It's another thing for them to say, this is more than a group of friends. This is a church. At the very least, it means you're vulnerable to one another, and especially to the next person who walks through the door to join you. When you're a church, what you have doesn't belong to you. Its doors are open. Its heart is open. Its future is open. You're vulnerable to the Spirit of God. I remember some of our founders telling me how terrified they were when the first visitor showed up on a Sunday morning. For church growth strategists, that moment is the whole point, to have one visitor and then 100 come through the front doors. Our folks felt that, but they also felt something else. They felt terror. They said, at that moment, it all became real. We realized we couldn't just quit and walked away. Our lives belonged to the next person who showed up. This was bigger than any of us. It takes some grit to start a church. It also takes some joy. I wonder how many churches began with an earnest sense of mission or with a church growth strategy binder, but don't have joy. Without joy, it's hard to sustain church or much in life, really. Annie Dillard said as a little girl, she just wanted one task that required all the joy she had within her. Dayspring was about the weightiness of honoring God and church community, but went about it with a lighthearted joy. When you enter our little chapel, you're entering the Stokes Chapel, named for George and Katie Stokes. Katie brightened any room she walked into, and she brightened your life when she entered into it. Of another founder, Kurt Kaiser, it was said that if there was any mirth in the room, Kurt would find it. His whistling was a homing beacon for gladness. These are beautiful examples of the larger story that was unfolding in and through us in the early years. There was light here, mystical delight that carried us along. As you know, joy is qualitatively different from happiness. It was joy that was here, which meant something unexpected to anyone. It didn't mean that you had to force some feigned happiness in order to fit in everything's okay. It better be. Or you'd better put on your church face in order to fit in. Something different was happening here. No one programmed it or planned for it. It wasn't in the binder. But when people found themselves in a place of genuine spiritual joy, they found that they could also be honest about their woundedness. Honest with themselves and one another and with God. This is a remarkable thing. Where joy is genuine and not manufactured or forced, it forms a safe place where pain is given space to do its work in us as long as it needs to do it. Some people needed to just come and sit and be left alone to weep for week after week, and they could. Some people needed to just come and come to grips with what their life had become and was becoming without being forced to act as if everything was okay, and they could. Some needed to ask hard questions about themselves and about God and about the faith they were clinging to. And others needed someone to pick them up off the floor and help them find hope for one more day. And some people needed to be told, "You are loved. You still are. You always will be. Even when you're not exactly the most lovable person." We all need to hear that from time to time. Life is not always about unicorns and rainbows. In a life like this, can you find joy? And can you be open to it when joy finds you? In today's parable from Matthew 22, that dystopian, dark story is Jesus' commentary on people, the religious leaders who are right there in front of him, and more generally everyone, his commentary on people who absolutely refuse to come to celebration no matter how freely and graciously it's offered to them. In the story, the wedding feast table is set by the king. Everything is prepared. But the people who are invited turn their eyes and their hearts to other things and will not come. Jesus has over-the-top harsh words for those in the story who miss the joy right in front of their eyes. In contrast to this parable, the whole book of Philippians, which we read this morning, is about people who have every reason to hang their heads, but don't somehow. The Apostle Paul, the writer of the letter, is in prison and doesn't know if he'll survive at this time. The recipients of the letter, the people of the little church of Philippi, are in some sort of conflict that's burdening them. Euodia and Syntyche are at the center of it. And whatever's going on in their little community, life in that part of the empire isn't easy anyway. If we think that 2020 is remarkably bad, and there are a lot of dark memes and jokes about that going around with good reason. When you want to cry, sometimes you have to laugh. I promise we wouldn't swap it for 63 AD in Philippi. And we wouldn't swap it for a prison cell in ancient Rome. This year's a doozy. But every year and every life have their challenges. And they always will. We'll probably never fully know what particular Philippian darkness into what Philippian darkness shines the light of the letter to the Philippians. But it's not hard to be encouraged by this letter. Karl Barth read, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and observed, "Joy is a defiant, nevertheless, that Paul sets out like a full stop against Philippian anxiety. I love that. Nevertheless, rejoice. That's an encouraging word, and I hope it is for you too. Nevertheless, rejoice. Into what darkness does the light of God shine in your life today? What darkness are you walking in, and where can you find the light of God shining again? You can hear the psalmist having the same conversation with himself or herself in Psalm 42. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Apparently, he has a good reason. The psalm reflects great pain in life from all that has been lost. And then, in the midst of it all, remembers, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Nevertheless, rejoice. If any act symbolizes the rugged nature of joy and pain, of light and darkness, of life and death, it is what welcomes us to the altar table. We remember Jesus' broken body and shed blood. We remember His crucifixion. And through His death, we remember His resurrection and life with us now in the Spirit. And even this too, that this isn't just an act of remembering. Not just an act of something remembering something from the past. But that through the giving and receiving of this bread, Christ is alive within us. He is alive with you, with us, with power sufficient that we can say, no matter what, nevertheless, I rejoice. Far from circumstantial bliss, lucky to avoid the pain of life, the Christian path leads to true joy through the pain of sacrificial suffering. This joy, this peace, this love indeed surpasses our understanding. And it guards broken hearts and minds against despair. 27 years after our founding, our lives have changed a lot. Our church has changed a lot over the years. This year has challenged us in ways we could have never imagined. Is the joy still there? Yes, by God. Yes, by the living God. The Lord is near. And the joy of the Lord is our strength for these days. Thanks be to God. Amen.